Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
I want to encourage you with this word today. I want to just remind you that Jesus spent a good portion of his ministry coming against fear and unbelief. He spent a good portion of his life in ministry coming against hearts that were misaligned or misguided. He spent the majority of his time battling the unanswered questions that drummed up fear. There was a fear in the physical. There was a fear in the mental. There was a fear in the spiritual. There was a fear in life. There was a fear in death, fear in provision, you know, just fear in all of these things. But I want to let you know this, that during this crisis, Jesus has not been taken off guard. He has not been caught off, you know, off his game. He has not had to scramble for a plan. You know, the prophet Isaiah encouraged through a prophecy about the coming days, about what we have to look forward to. He said this in Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you." He was prophesying into the days of glory. He was prophesying really into the glory of Zion and what we will see one day. Calling upon the saints to be strengthened, to not worry, to stand firm, because God will surely come and he will save us. If you have your Bibles today, throw them on your laps and open to Mark chapter 4. This is a very familiar verse, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I want to just show you how unafraid God is in this time, how sure of this season he is, how this season hasn't taken him off guard. I have not known my God to be taken off guard once, because I know my God to be true. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, it says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat where as he was. And the other little boats were with him also. And a great storm arose, and when so much so that the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, he was asleep on a pillow." Jesus was in the stern and he was asleep on a pillow. I want to reiterate that Jesus was in the stern and he was asleep on a pillow. "And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" It wasn't that Jesus was upset with them feeling uncomfortable or their unsurety of the situation. It was the fact that he spoke to them before they left the shore that they will be going to the other side. It wasn't the fact that they were uncomfortable in what surrounded them, that they were unsure about their situation, but it was the fact that Jesus said to them before they left that we are going to the other side. Let us cross to the other side. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus was asking this question because he had already set it up. If you had just believed in what I have told you from the beginning, you would understand that this is just a setback. This wasn't meant for your demise, but it was meant for you to just plant your faith in me. If you had just gone back to what I had spoken in the beginning, you would understand that the waves and this storm wasn't meant to end you, but to have you go deeper, to have you plant deeper in faith in me and what I have spoken. Hebrews chapter 6 refers to the immutability of his counsel. I love that word. It talks about the unchangeableness of God's purpose in his ways when he was dealing with Abraham and what he had spoken to him, the promise that he had made. He was certain that Abraham was certain that he could just plant his faith in what he had spoken. He wasn't going to change his way. He wasn't going to change his purpose. He was going to do exactly what he spoke to Abraham, exactly what he had spoken. God is unchangeable in his ways, and God is unchangeable in his purpose. There's an immutability that comes to his counsel. When he speaks it, he means it, and you can plant on it. Amen? You might not understand the promise given in the midst of the situation you're facing. You might not understand the promise that has been given by God, considering the state that you're in. But I want to ask you this question. Have you really considered the deadness of Sarah's womb? Have you really comprehended what was going on in the situation when God visited Abram and spoke to him that he would have a son through his wife in her old age and in the deadness of her womb? God's not concerned with the situation that we're in. He's not concerned with the time. What he's concerned with is, do you believe what he has spoken to you? Do you believe what he said? Do you believe what he has declared about who he is and about who you are? Have you ever considered the deadness of Sarah's womb and what God was able to work with, what God had to work with, and what God did with what he had to work with? Realistically, we should only have to see God move once in our life in a hopeless situation for us to plant firmly upon the fact that he is able to do anything. But our hearts are so fickle. We go to and fro. We get rocked by the waves and we get rocked by the wind, and we forget what God spoke in the beginning. That he is good, and we can firmly plant upon the rock of his salvation. That every word he speaks is true, that not a word would return to him void, but it would fulfill the purpose. Listen, you are a word. You were spoken into existence. God spoke a plan and a purpose over your life in the beginning, before the beginning of time, before your parents knew who you were, before their parents knew who they were. God was speaking a plan and a purpose over you. And because we walk into an uncertain time like this, we can't allow fear to rob us of what God has spoken to us. Listen, I've heard more testimony come out of this season of the creativity of the heart, of minds that have been able to just forget everything else, the day in, day out, hustle and bustle of life, and being able to just meditate upon what God is saying in this season. And the creativity is flowing not only out of the church, but out of society in this time. Saints, I want to encourage you, take this time that we've slowed down and take this time of isolation and just meditate upon God and allow him to either show you or re-show you what he spoke in the beginning. We should only have to see him move once, realistically. We should only have to see him move once for us to plant firmly upon the fact that he is able to do anything, that he is the God of the impossible. What if God showed the disciples? Or what if he allowed fear of what they feared to rise up around them so that they could see where their faith was at? What if in this season, the fear that has risen up around you is truly showing you where your faith is at? What have you planted your faith in? Have you planted your faith in your career? Have you planted your faith in your finances? Have you planted your faith in your health? What if God has allowed the situation to rise up around us so that we could truly see where our faith was? I think often about Goliath and the Israelite army, how they stood in fear across the valley from their nemesis, from this man who defied God, this man who seemed unbeatable, this man who just blew their minds physically. How they allowed the fear to come around them. But then there was this ruddy kid who came out of nowhere, the cheese tray. And he looks across at this giant. He looks across at the situation and he thinks to himself, man, God has helped me. God has led me through so many situations. And there was such a faith that filled his heart. There was such a stubborn attitude against this man that rose up in his heart, that he went to the king and he said to the king, listen, the same God that rescued me from the bear and the lion, the same God that led me through these battles is the same one that will lead me through this battle. See, the only thing that the Israelite army was weak in was in their faith and their trust. But they were strong in fear. And they allowed that fear to cripple them. They allowed that fear to hold them back from fulfilling what God wanted to fulfill. And I'm not willing in this season to do that. I'm not willing in this season to allow fear to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. We in this house are not willing to let fear stop us from what God is calling us to do, not only in this city, but in this nation, not only in this nation, but all across this world. And I want to encourage you today to allow faith to trump fear. Pastor Chris said it in the beginning. Fear absolutely kills faith. But when we allow faith to arise, we absolutely put to death all of the fear. Listen, if you're going to feed your fear, feed it with a healthy dose of faith. In Matthew chapter 14, another familiar portion of scripture, this is the portion of scripture where Jesus comes walking to the disciples on water. Jesus sends them out to cross to the other side before him, and you know, it says during the fourth watch, he saw as they were in a bit of trouble and he came walking to them on the sea. And as they saw him, they were afraid because they couldn't understand what was going on. They had not seen anything like this before. And they figured it was a ghost. They didn't know what to think. So they called out, who is it? And Jesus said, it's me. And Peter asked Jesus, he asked Jesus this. He said, listen, if that's you, command me to walk out to you. Command me to come out and be with you. Command me to get out on the water with you. And Jesus said, then come. And listen, as Peter spoke and as Peter asked Jesus to walk on the water and Jesus called him to come, Peter did what only Peter could do. Listen, I know that we've busted Peter's chops for a long time for his lack of faith and sinking. But I'm going to tell you, Ray, we don't commend Peter enough for allowing faith to lead him out of the boat onto the water. A good friend of mine has said for years that Peter wasn't walking on faith or on water, but he was walking on faith. So as Peter got out onto the water and he walked, he was able to maintain his balance. He was able to maintain his focus until he became overwhelmed with the situation that surrounded us or surrounded him. And it's not unlike us in this season. We've allowed this thing to rattle us. We've allowed this thing to shake us. We've allowed this crisis to come into our homes and cause us to fear, cause us to just set aside everything that we knew to be true. It's not unlike Peter when he got out of the boat. He was good as long as he had Jesus central in his heart, as long as he had Jesus in his gaze. He was okay. But when he became overwhelmed with what was surrounding it, was only then that he failed. It was only then that he fell. But one thing I know to be true, and it's exemplified again in this story, that as Peter was sinking, he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus took him by the hand. And Jesus pulled him out of his unbelief. Jesus pulled him out of his situation. Jesus pulled him out of his circumstance because he's just that good. He is just that good. Listen, our vision and our call, or what we know the Lord has spoken over us, our family, our situation, the reality of what it is what surrounds us right now. This is our reality. We are in this crisis. We are in this shutdown. You are without a job, or you are dealing with this sickness. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God still has something to say about it. God is still saying something about this situation. Let's see, listen. Peter was good when he had Jesus in the midst of his heart, when he had Jesus in his gaze, when he was focused in on Jesus himself, he was good. But when he took his eyes off him and set it upon his situation, he looked around and he saw the waves and he saw the wind and he saw really that he was out there and he focused on his own ability. I'm going to tell you right now, he began to sink. It's not unlike us. Listen, the truth is, what is God saying about it? What's God saying in this moment? What can God do in this season? What can he do right now? I want to tell you what I know he's doing right now. He's causing churches to perfect social media. He's causing the audiovisual and the sound departments of every single church to become perfect. I'm going to tell you right now, when we start filling sanctuaries again, it's not just going to be what's going on in this house. But God will be made famous all around the world. When you have people tuning in to a service in Edmonton from Australia, you know you're touching the world. And you have people tuning in from all over the United States of America, from all over Canada, from all over the world. You know that you are making God's name famous. God is using this day. God is using this season in a brand new way. We don't know why this is going on. We don't know how it came about. I mean, you can listen to CNN. You can listen to any new newscast. You can listen to any backyard conspiracy theorist to try to figure out what's going on. But guess what? I don't care. What can God do with it? What will he do with it? This is our new reality. God is still speaking something over this situation. You think you're called to be a businessman, a successful businessman? You're called to business, an entrepreneur, but all of a sudden you had to shut your doors because of the current situation? I'm going to tell you right now, this doesn't scare me. This doesn't scare me. This just gives you an opportunity to get more creative with what you do. This gets you to be more creative with your art, with your mindset. You can't become pigeonholed with what God was doing or what you were doing. What can you do in this season? I've watched as businesses have transformed overnight, have made a way to still make a profit and to bring money in to their businesses. Listen, I'm not scared. If you're scared, then that's fine. Get a hold of me. You can come to my office. We can do a Zoom call. We'll pray together. And we'll watch as God blows your mind and blows away the competition. David said this in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Listen, David was dramatic. David was an emotional man. And he just wrote, as he's talking about the valley of the shadow of death, that was strictly there for theatrics. He was trying to make a point. He was trying to get that out there, that I could walk through any place and death being the most dramatic of these places, yet I won't fear. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David knew who was his lead. He knew who was out front. And as he equates God the Father to be a shepherd, he says, "Listen, I know you're going to go before me, and I know you're going to check every crevice. I know you're going to check every cavern, and you're going to make sure there's nothing in there that will harm me. Not only does your staff lead me, but your staff protects me. It will ward off the enemy. It will ward off the predator. I'm not worried about it. As long as you are in the lead, I will be okay. As long as you are out front, I'm going to be okay." We give fear such an unhealthy place in our life. You know, God can speak a word to us every single day. But as soon as a situation arises around us that we can't control, we begin to fear. And we allow fear to trump everything that God has spoke over us. We allow fear to trump everything that God is doing. We need to cut it off. We need to cut fear out of our life. Listen, we're afraid that we'll make the same mistakes we did before. We're afraid that we will make the same mistakes that others did before. We're afraid that we don't have the capability or capacity. We're afraid that we won't have the means, the way, or the destination. We're afraid about what people think about us. We're afraid of what people say about us. We're afraid that we'll fall or even fail. And then we're afraid about what they'll say about us failing or falling. We're afraid that we misheard God. We're afraid that what we thought we heard God say was actually us. Then we get afraid that God is not truly able. We're even afraid that God won't or can't come through on what he spoke. We give fear such an unhealthy place in our life. Let me ask you this question. What do you think would happen, or what would have happened if after the angel came and spoke to Mary and Mary supernaturally conceived the child, that she knew what had happened? She walked through the very situation that was now occupying her womb. But then she began to listen to what everybody else was saying about how she was unfaithful. And I can't imagine the things that were spoken about Mary. We just have the PG version of what was actually going on in that day. But I'm going to tell you right now, the ladies, they like to talk. And the men, they like their minds to wander. Mary was not well liked. There was not a faith in what Mary was speaking. There was not a understanding of what Mary was going through. But could you imagine if Mary allowed that fear to overtake her mind and overtake her heart, and then she go and do something drastic with that child that was within her, or go do something drastic with her own life? Just think for a moment about what would have taken place if Mary allowed fear to trump what she knew to be true. Or the woman at the well who was afraid of what everybody else would say when she went back and told them what this prophet had said to her. Could you imagine if she kept that message to herself? Could you imagine if fear gripped her in such a way that she wouldn't share what was really going on or what she had just walked through? Could you imagine of the amount of men and women that would have not come to know Jesus as Lord, their Lord and Savior, if that woman just kept to herself what was going on out of fear? Or what if Jairus feared what his peers would say, or what would be thought about him if they knew he pursued Jesus on behalf of his daughter? We give fear such an unhealthy place in our lives. We give it such a precedence. We give it such a place that it never deserved to be. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says this: "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's such an important verse for this season. It's such an important verse for our hearts in this season. We need to allow that verse to penetrate our hearts and our minds in this day. That he's not given us a spirit of fear. Listen, I'd be lying to you if I said that I wasn't afraid. There wasn't moments and times in this season that I was afraid. There are so many things that we could be afraid of. There are so many things that strike fear in our hearts. The unknown, the words that the medical field is talking about, the things that society, the things that our prime minister are saying, that we're not going to resume business for months and maybe even years. But then I realize none of that concerns me. because God himself does not bank on the word of man. But he himself sets the precedence. He himself sets the way. He himself sets the day. And if we would only surrender and listen, if we would just yield our hearts for a moment and listen and tune in to what he's saying, to what he's speaking, to what he's declaring in this day. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Proverbs 29 and 25 says this, "The fear of man brings a snare." The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. For those of you who don't know what a snare is a trap that you would set up to catch wild game of the bigger sorts. And what a snare does is the animal would walk into the center of this trap, it would close up around its ankles. And it would hold him there until the trapper came to collect his trappings or whatever. I wish there were people in here to laugh with me. You know, it's just so much. It's so much more fun when you're here, when you're present. We can laugh together. But either way, you understand the point. You get the picture. I don't want that to hold me. I don't want my fear to trap me. Listen, fear will trap you. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will make a way for stress and anxiety. Fear will never allow your good intentions to birth action. Fear will stunt your growth. Fear will cripple your vision. Fear, doubt, and death go hand in hand. And for those of us who will spend any time in this house, we know that doubt will kill more vision than the enemy ever could. Fear will kill more vision than the enemy ever could. Listen, I'm going to tell you a little story. And this is a personal story, but it's not like a personal story. I was sitting around my kitchen table one day and just meditating on the Lord. This is about 15 years ago. And as I was sitting there, I was just minding my own business, meditating on him, telling him, you know, whatever affections that I had in my heart that day. And he begins talking, literally, the things that he says to me are names of countries. Names of countries. I mean, I'm pouring my heart out, I'm loving on him, and he just starts talking to me names of countries. And in total, there was 12 countries, including Canada and the U.S., that he spoke to my heart. And then he began to share with me that there would be the opportunity given to have training centers in each and every one of these countries. So I thought to myself, well, that's going to, I was, you know, 25, 26 years old at the time. And I thought to myself, well, I have a lot of time. You know, I plan on living to be 120 years old, so there's enough time here to get all of this stuff done. I'm 43 years old, and I've only been to one of those countries. And that's not without trying. I mean, three times we've tried to get to India, and all three times after having a trip planned, the Lord just changes direction. So I thought, you know what, I better have three more children. But that wasn't the answer. You see, fear could grip me and I could be overwhelmed at what was going on and what's been going on with the situation. I could consider these countries and trying to figure out what was going on with them. Only to realize 15 years later, God had a plan and a purpose all along. And only now opening doors, given the opportunity to see every single one of those countries plus touched and have a training center in it. Listen, God has all of this under control. Aaron, you can come on up, please. God has all of this under control. He's not been taken off guard. He's not had to scramble for a plan. He's not had to reconsider his ways. He's not had to re-speak a word. God is not freaking out in this season. Listen, but the fear that we allow to grip our hearts, it will paralyze us. And it will stop us from doing what God has given us to do. I'm not only talking corporately, I'm talking personally. There have been things that God has spoken to you, whether it be business, whether it be ministry, whether it be travel, whether you're in the school, says it doesn't matter. That doesn't make up who you are. You are a son and you are a daughter. And God cares for the ones that He loves. He cares for the one that He has called. And you are called. 1 John 4:18 says this, that there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We need to feed our faith. We need to feed our fear a healthy dose of faith, because faith kills fear. And I promise you, in this season, if you faint not and you don't allow fear to grip your heart, you will see the fruit of your obedience. Saints, I want to bless you today. Words can't express in my heart how much I miss your face, how much we miss being with you. We talk about it often, just how we can't wait to gather again, and that's the absolute truth. But until then, we want to bless you. We want to love on you. And if there's anything you need, you know how to get a hold of us. I want to invite Pastor Chris up here with some instruction concerning our Zoom call. But saints, bless you. We love you. Have an incredible day and an incredible week.